Okay, hello and welcome to episode 20 of Life in Hex, the big 2-0.
Big 2-0.
We are 20 episodes old.
So how many weeks is that now then?
Fuck knows.
That's 40. It's not hard math. You're the one who's supposed to get an A in A-level maths.
I did get A in A-level maths.
And you can't work out what 20 times 2 is.
We missed some weeks and stuff.
It's 40 weeks worth of recording.
Yeah.
We haven't even introduced ourselves yet.
We haven't indeed. I'm Gilada.
I'm Sephron.
And just want to start by, you know, relaying through, because we've got quite a few ways of contacting us and everything now. And I thought maybe we'll put it at the start rather than the end.
Yeah, makes sense.
So, you know, visit our site at lifeinhex.com, www.lifeinhex.com.
Or visit our forum.
It's
on the site. It's lifeinhex.com/forum.
Yep. and you can email us at show@lifeinhex.com. And you can visit us on IRC at irc.hack5.org. Little channel hash pound sign or whatever. Life in Hex. And if you like, you can Skype me on Gilada if you really want to. I don't know why. And I also, the clan has a TS server which you can always contact me on if you really want to.
And there's millions of other ways you can contact us if you really want.
You can get Seth on RO by the unknown username.
Yes.
So you could put out like a little big message in Frontier. You could have a little one of those chat things looking for
Sephron from Life in Hex. And I'll just pop in there and say, yeah, that should be. And they'll be like, oh my God.
Oh my God. We're back on schedule.
Yeah, we, as you remember, last episode, well, hopefully you remember, if this is your first episode, yep, then it won't really make a difference to you. Mm-hmm. That we said we were really out of time with our scheduling because we we messed up because you were on holiday and then
the show became a monthly show.
If that.
It was a monthly show at one point. We had an episode a month, an episode a month.
Is it really
and
that
now
much?
We're back with an episode, yeah. Mm.
So, but we're back on track now.
Yeah, we are.
We are going to start doing our releases properly now, once every 2 weeks.
Yep.
Which is our normal release dates.
Every fortnight.
So,
We're going to plan ahead. I mean, we're recording this a day early, you know, because we can't record tomorrow.
We're recording this on the Friday instead of the Saturday simply because we can't record tomorrow.
Because I'm out and then I've got to edit quick. But, you know, instead of doing it late or not doing it at all, you know, we've organised. We've got it early. We've got there all sorted.
We're going to make sure that our plans basically go around Life in Hex from now on instead of Life in Hex going around our plans. Mm-hmm. So
hopefully, you know, this is, you know, we'll be definitely there, scheduled, everything, et cetera, et cetera. We got an email from Alex, who has emailed before into the show, with some ideas for segments. I'm not going to read out the whole email because it was a long email.
Very long email.
You know, he went on about some of the stuff.
It
was
just
a very
long
good
email.
It was a very good email. Thank you very much, Alex. He says, you know, the gist of it is he says, you know, he loves the show. He likes the technology section, which he gives some segment ideas for. And he says, you know, he's not actually, I found this quite good. And it's kind of like a sum up of Life in Hex in a way. One extra thing about us that differs from like radio or something is that because we're a podcast, he listens to the tech section and he enjoys the tech section, but he listens to the gaming and anime section, even though he's not into gaming and anime much. But he said a lot of his friends are really into gaming and anime. Mm-hmm. And he said Life in Hex actually gets him to keep in the loop.
It's very
because
cool,
because he listens to gaming and anime.
Yeah. So like, he's, you know, hanging around with his friends and, you know, he listens to Life in Hex
and he's can chat about
The latest games or the anime stuff they're on about. So
I thought that was really great. You know, that's a really nice thing to
hear.
That's
one of our aims. You know, we aim to try and inform people about these things. So.
Exactly. So thank you very much, Alex. You know, he said ever since he's found the show, you know, he's always listened. But he also said that he didn't actually notice really that we'd missed a month. I think he was away at some point as well or something like this. Which is good. Again, you know, it shows it's not too much of an issue, but we are back on schedule. You will hear us every 2 weeks and we better not be like putting our foot in it. And next episode,
we're like, no show for 2 months.
So
let's hope not.
Thank you very much, Alex. One of the ideas, which is cooperative Linux, will be in this episode in the tech section. And we will use some of the future segments. He mentions a thing about AvidMux, which is a thing for doing video authoring and that sort of thing. I'm gonna have a look at that.
We said we're gonna do some like media stuff on the forums.
That's what he based it on. He said, you know, means we've mentioned that. Here's some stuff about it, and you know, so that's very cool. Thank you very much. And we do like having our, you know, topic ideas given to us. Tech ones. You've always said, you know, anime, manga, and stuff. If you can actually get
that's
hold of
a little
it.
Bit harder, obviously, because it means I've got to get hold of the anime and manga. But if there's something you want us to talk about, you know, if there's something you're interested in, you think would make a good segment for the show, you know, let us know, and we'll try our best.
Yep. So I obviously, you know, like some tech sections, and that's great, you know, to hear from people. You know, if you do the research for me beforehand, then that's
hell,
even better.
I mean, that co-Linux thing was practically done for you, really,
yep.
wasn't it?
So thank you very much, Alex, for that. Okay, we got some live stuff because we haven't done a show for a month.
We got a little bit of.
You know, I've done a bit, and you haven't really done anything.
Well, not that I haven't done anything. It's just that I've not done anything of interest.
It's back to college soon for both of us.
Yep, because we've been on some holiday.
Yeah, we just had our results through, and for both of us, you know, they were okay. We've got to resit a couple of exams,
yeah,
but
we want to try and get our grades a bit higher,
as high as we can get them, but. Very satisfying overall, you know.
Yeah, it's all right.
Looking forward to another year of college.
Well, yes and no, because I mean, it's going to be good to get in the swing of things again, you know,
Yeah.
get into a general routine of things. But it means that I'm going to start missing out on like my free time that I start to do. You know, I've been enjoying being able to just go on RO whenever I like to, or
Yeah.
being able to sleep in when I need to,
Come
you
to
know,
lands,
come
you
to
know.
land, etc. You know, so yes
Yeah.
and no.
Yeah, I'm the same, you know. Good to get back into a routine, good to. For some reason at school, I can research things a bit more when I'm in my free time.
It's because, like, at school, you're in more of a professional kind of mode
But
sort
not
of
only
thing,
that, you
and
can't
you're
play
in a.
games at school.
You don't have the
So.
distraction of playing, being able to just go, I'm just going to play a quick game of
Yeah,
CS.
exactly. So,
Although, knowing you will eventually work out a way.
yeah, I still want, before I leave school, I still want to have a LAN at school in the common room. I really want to do it. I really want to do it. I really want to, like day before last day or something, bring in spare computers and have a little
The
LAN.
closest thing we ever came to that was like IT lesson we wanted at that time.
Yeah, we were
Where
playing.
like
That was a LAN. That was like
12
classroom
of us
LAN.
in this whole IT lesson were all just playing Quake 3
Biggest LAN
Arena.
we've ever been to.
It was actually, wasn't
Oh dear.
it?
But
Quite
yeah.
sad, really, wasn't
But
it?
yeah, so this is our final year of college and then we're off to uni.
I'm not too. I'm half undecided about uni.
Do you know what? I've been, for ages, I've been like, yes, uni, yes. And I've started to think, no, I don't want change. Can't we just stay? Can't life stay like this,
Well,
doing the
like,
same thing?
if you think about going to uni, I mean, okay, we're not kids anymore, but we still kind of live a more sheltered life because we still live with our parents, we still go to school, etc., or
Etc.
college, etc. And when we go to uni, we're going to be like, you know, out there almost. I mean, for most people, that's no problem, but you know, it's like a big step and everything. It's like, you know, like you said, can't we just stay as we are? It's
Can't things not
nice.
change? No, that's great.
It's nice not having to worry about things, but we're going to have to.
So yeah, we're off to uni, and the future of life in Hex is sort of in the balance, you know, on a knife edge. You know, what are we gonna do?
I'm sure we'll think of something.
I've got some plans up my sleeve. I'm sure you might have a few ideas and stuff. And
Well, I've got a couple of ideas we could do, but probably nothing technical like you have.
Well, you know, it's not that. It's just a few ideas of, you know, how life in Hex can expand and what we can do and that sort of thing. You know, maybe branch off. You know, maybe you'll find someone at uni. Maybe I'll find someone at uni that we can do the show with. You know, and have two. Have like, you know, Seferin's life in Hex, Gelada's life in
It'd
Hex,
make
and
it a lot easier once
yeah.
I get my new computer so I can actually edit.
Yep. So yeah, blah blah blah. I went to Cropperty Folk Festival, which was on the 11th, no, the 10th, 11th, and 12th of August.
You go to every year?
I've been to for 6 years now, and I've said to myself, I'm gonna go there as long as it exists and I exist,
If possible.
if possible. No, not if possible. I will make sure that I can go.
Yeah, so. Yeah.
Yeah, essentially, because next year is the 40th anniversary of Cropperty Folk Festival. It's been
All
going for
right.
39 years now. And so that'll be a really good one next year. So I can't miss out on that. And it could, you know, it'll be the one before going to uni. So it'll be quite a
Be quite a,
milestone, you know.
yeah, be kind of like a monumental type of thing, you know, it's like the last one.
40 years of Cropperty Folk Festival last year before going to uni. Yeah. So it was really good. Really enjoyed myself. Took a picture
A picture.
of the rain. But it was really good. You can go and check out like fairportconvention.com or faircrop.co.uk. Stuff like that. Google Fairport Convention, Google Cropperty Folk Festival. After Cropperty Folk Festival, I also went to Suffolk. Suffolk? Suffolk?
Suffolk.
Suffolk. And it was very close to Minsmere, a little village called Walpole. Walpole. Obviously, that's a cool name. Walpole.
It's the name of a character in One Piece.
Walpole.
Warple.
Walpole.
He eats
It's
things. He can
Walpole.
eat himself.
Walpole.
Yes, it's the set. It's that's exactly how
Walpole.
the character is spelt.
Wow. But yeah, there was an RSPB place, Royal Society for the Protection of Birds. There was a little birding place there, bird hide stuff. Very relaxing. Very nice to be unplugged for a while.
Yeah, but you still managed to take a well laptop and play
Open
countless
Transport.
hours of
Open Transport Tycoon
yeah.
Deluxe. Hell yeah. Again, pictures of Suffolk stuff on Flickr as well. Only like three pictures. Sefran's done nothing.
Well, I'm not really dumb. It's not that, like I said, it's not that I haven't done anything.
It's just that his... It's just okay, that the get stuff this, that... listeners. His live section was going to be that he was going to go to London, but he didn't.
No, okay. What I intended to do, right, was I was... Me and Yamara were going to be going to London, okay, on Wednesday. Unfortunately, he had to cancel because his parents were doing something about a house. I don't know.
Something about a house?
They were...
demolishing? Building?
Even though they're going to Australia soon, they're moving house, I think. I don't know.
Right.
I don't understand. But anyway, we're supposed to go to London. I was going to do in the anime section, I was going to do like a little section on it. Because like, the whole point of going to London was to find out all the anime stuff for that. Because there was like, specialist shops down there and everything. So, that was actually going to be a big thing. But that didn't go ahead.
Ah, so that's why it was in the
line. And nothing else.
So even though we put Sefran has done nothing, we didn't put that in the show notes. She now put it in the show and managed to get it there.
Hell.
Oh, well. But yeah, so you've been playing RO.
I've been playing RO. I've been playing RBO, Ragnarok Battle Offline.
Oh my god.
It's so cool!
I think so. In other life-y stuff, I popped to Desartes again. Last episode I mentioned that I'd done that.
And you did it again.
And now I'm doing it again. Well, I did it again.
So you can talk about going to Desartes and going to Cropperty Folk Festival and going to Suffolk when you go to the RSPBC, whatever.
Yeah.
But I can't talk about the stuff that I do.
What stuff that you do? Not going to London.
I do stuff as well. It's just that I don't put it on the show because I don't think it's very interesting to the listeners.
Well, anyway, it's not, so I'm mentioning it briefly. Shout out to Tazata and Cass.
Oh, was his girlfriend there this time?
Yeah,
again?
He was there. She was there on the second day.
Make a move again?
What?
No.
Done. No, definitely not.
I thought you said you were going to like sneak in and just nick her.
No. Hell no.
You said you were.
No, that's definitely
pathetic.
Not. Anime section?
None.
No anime section.
No. Well, the reason there isn't an anime section, and that's bullshit what you've written on the show notes. I'm playing that much. I'm not that much of a... Okay, maybe I am. I'm not that much of a crip. But no anime section really is because I haven't actually finished a series recently. I've got loads of series going, but I haven't really finished a series that I can give a review on. Because I've been watching a load of Initial D recently, but I've really done a review for that. And I've got loads of manga that I really want to review. It's just they haven't finished. So I can't really review them properly.
All right, okay.
So,
no worries.
But anyway, no anime section this week.
Gives us more room for the gaming.
But it gives us more room for gaming in their tech. So, which we've got plenty of, for the looks of things.
We have indeed. So, gaming then. Thank you very much for that wonderful anime section.
No, it's amazing, wasn't it?
First little thing. You know, all of this is news, actually. We haven't got any reviews or anything.
No reviews, because, like, as we said last episode and the episode before and the episode before that.
An episode since June.
Since around that kind of time, so like 4 or 5 episodes ago. It's been really quiet. The summer always is a slump, isn't it?
It is.
Well, people don't want to be playing games during the summer anyway, usually anyway.
Exactly.
Apart from hardcore games like ourselves, you know, so.
So, you know.
Nothing really been new.
No, but from what I gather, Spore is making good progress.
Yep.
From the thing, which we haven't got in the show notes, so I just thought I'd mention that. The Blue Byte are going to release a Settlers 2 10th Anniversary Edition. Now, Settlers 2 was a game in the old DOS days. It was on DOS, essentially. That's what
was Settlers like on like little LED lights that you could get hold of?
Settlers was really far back. But Settlers 2...
I can't well believe it. Was it like little ASCII characters on the screen?
But Settlers 2 wasn't. Settlers 2 was newer. And it had a sort of like a way of playing that no other game has ever done. And that's not because it's bad. It is actually a good way of doing it. But anyway, what they're doing is they're staying truthful to the original game. The whole game engine is the same, but they've just completely revamped the graphics. 3D graphics, typical Settlers cutesy type graphics that they have now.
Uh-huh.
You know, like Bambi type deer and, you know, big head people that are going as they walk along.
Why do these people sound like monkeys?
Well, they don't actually go, but they just walk like that.
Do they do a little wiggle on the chair?
Yeah, they do. So the demo has been released, and you can get some mirrors and links to download that at www.thesettlers.com. And the full game should be released Q3 this year, so it is Q3 now. Coming
is
up for
actually Q3 now?
Well, Q4. It must be December to something, so we must be in Q3 or early Q3.
Yeah, somewhere. It's coming soon.
Yeah, so it's coming soon. It keeps true to the Settlers 2 roots with new graphics, and there will be an internet multiplayer, which would be cool but slow. You can have up to six people on the
so
game.
So it's turn-based, isn't it?
No, it's not. It's real-time.
It's real-time. That reminds me of a free game that used to be out called Artifact.
Yeah.
You remember that?
Yeah, it was quite similar to that, I think. I'm not sure.
I think that was real-time. I didn't like it too much. Mm. It was too basic.
I like Settlers 2. It's far from basic. It's very complex. It's all about resource process. So you start with, like, grain, and then you can get to a mill and then a bakery or a brewery or a somewhere else, and then
generally grain,
and then that and then that food goes to, some of it goes to your mines to feed the miners, some of it goes to your guards to guard in the barracks and stuff and all that sort of thing. It's very cool. Anyway, and because there's internet multiplayer, you no longer need to have two mice on a COM port because that was how the multiplayer worked before. It was split screen.
Interesting.
Fear, or the people who made Fear, have released Fear Combat, which is a multiplayer section of Fear, but for free.
This is a really good move.
Have you seen it?
I haven't actually seen the multiplayer version. Mm-hmm. But I've seen Fear itself, and I can imagine it would make a rather good multiplayer.
It's good. You die very easily, but yet you can't shoot very easily because there's interesting recoil on the guns.
Isn't Fear, I mean, I saw Pro playing it at the land. Isn't Fear supposed to be like kind of like semi-realistic?
It is.
It's like a cross between like something like, I don't know, Max Payne or something with the bullet time stuff, mm-hmm, and CS.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. You can get headshots, but the guns shoot 3 bullets at a time, interestingly. And they have recoil, quite big recoil.
3 bullets at a time recoil, that doesn't make sense.
It's sort of like, the gun doesn't recoil up, it sort of recoils around like your aim would if you were shooting.
Guess so.
And so that kind of threw me when I was playing, but the special effects are really nice. You know, you shoot a wall and chips of the wall fly out.
That's nice.
And when you blow stuff up, the grenade effect is like the whole thing pulses slightly. And you choose what guns to have at the start, and then you keep that and you can change it when you spawn. But you don't have to buy guns or anything. And there's deathmatch, team deathmatch, capture the flag. You know, there's all sorts of different.
So it's all the
modes.
Usual different modes that you can get.
And it was interesting because when I was trying it at Tazata's, his computer could just about run it with Perrin's new graphics card in it. Thank you, Perrin, for lending him his old graphics card. And just we were on a dedicated server, so there was no one else there. The game was freaky without any of the single player stuff. Literally, I was playing it and like. There's bits of dodgy music sometimes, and like, I don't know, I think they did it on purpose, but if you like walk on a bottle, yeah, the bottle sound is really loud, like the bottle rolling or you're knocking a bottle over,
yeah.
Really loud, louder than it would be in real life, makes you jump sort of thing, and the shadows, the way the shadows work and everything. Anyway, that's Fear. And
that's Fear, we're not on about Fear, we're trying to talk about Fear Combat here.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it was a good move by the developers because, yep. I mean... releasing a free version of the multiplayer, what's not to love?
Exactly.
You know?
Very cool. 1.8 gig download. Go to joinfear.com and you have to register to get a CD key and then download the game and it's there. Done. Play.
Easy.
Mm-hmm.
Good stuff.
Servers have low pings, you know, 16 ping sort of thing. You know, they're not like really high ping or anything.
I don't see this being like a big multiplayer,
which is
going to be like, you know, played by loads of people all the time. It's just a nice little multiplayer thing.
Nice gesture.
Yeah.
Because they're about to release an expansion pack, aren't they? Or they will be soon.
Yeah, I think they are releasing it. So it's like Next Encounter or yeah. something like that. Mm-hmm. I've seen it about.
So First Encounter, Assault Recon, Next Encounter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fearer.
Mm-hmm. also, the Battlefield 2142 beta is now available if you're a Foul Planet subscriber. If anyone has some first impressions, if they are a Foul Planet subscriber, because I'm not, and I refuse to pay for it because they merged with IGN, and so I have no reason to see why I should give a company that's merged the same amount of money again to get their stuff as well.
Because you're an IGN insider.
Because they're the same company.
Exactly.
Why do they deserve more money off me?
Why should you pay IGN insider fees and Foul Planet fees when they're the exact same company?
Exactly.
It doesn't make sense. It's
so,
not fair.
You know, and I don't want to pay more because I don't actually pay for it. My dad pays for it, and he's like kind of forgotten about it because I've had it for years now. I've had it for like 7 years or something stupid, since year 7. So if you do have some first impressions, then, you know, email us, show@lifeinx.com, and we'll include your first impressions.
I'm looking forward to finding out more about it,
mm-hmm.
because, I mean, I've heard a lot of good things about it, the beta, and this it's very enjoyable.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just really hoping they get it right. 2142 right.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's good. One last quick thing, and then you've got a little quick chat about Need for Speed Carbon, is that Counter-Strike Source, there was a rather large Counter-Strike Source update, which, well, it wasn't large, but it affects the gameplay quite a lot.
A big changing update.
Yeah. First thing they've now got a HDR version of Train, which is fine, but they've added a new radar, a different radar system, essentially. Now, according to Mix, it's more like BF2. I think it actually has a map of the area, so but like in sort of wireframe, like a wireframey type map.
Yeah, so it's still trying to keep to the idea of it being a not, you know, you can't just watch the radar, so you know everyone is at the same time, like you can on, like, I don't know, UT, for example. Mm-hmm. So it's trying to keep the idea of it being strategic, so you don't know where everyone is, but at the same time, it's trying to give you more options to you can do with the radar, so you can use it more effectively. I mean, honest to God, how often do you, at the moment, use the radar in CS?
I use it a lot, but not to find out where people are. I use it to find out where someone died. So if someone's died, and I've glanced at the radar before, I know the rough direction that the enemy is in. So you can use that. But it makes sense to have a map on the radar, because at the moment it's just little points. Now, it's not like something like Halo, where the points only appear for a short period of time and then disappear. They're on there all the time.
Mm.
So why have radar points moving in black space?
Well, you see, one thing I found really strange when I found out about it, like, ages ago, was that they'd really changed that, because if you remember, in Condition Zero, and I would think 1.6, you've got that full-on map.
Yeah, you could have a
when
map.
You die, you can go and you can look at the full-on map from a top-down view, and you move around it, which was good, because you could see where everyone was at the same time. Obviously, you can't have that during the game, otherwise it'd spoil the game a bit.
Oh, well, yeah.
But it's kind of like an aspect of that in CS Source, so...
Yeah, and also, if you look at an enemy long enough, it will appear on all your team's radar, which is a good, you know...
So it's like you're identifying it.
And it's I think it will change some very close-knit team play. You know, you can change a few aspects, you can enhance your tactics and that. So I hope that DeFay will be working out some tactics and stuff for this. You're going to do a little chat about...
Well, no, not me.
Both of us, yeah.
Both of us, we're both interested in it.
Yeah, but you've looked at the recent previews and stuff on IGN, yeah. So what's it about?
Well, Need for Speed Underground. No, it's Need for Speed Carbon, isn't it?
Need for Speed Carbon, yeah.
Because it's... Oh, God, how many games has been in this series now?
Need for Speed 1, 2, 3, 4, Most Wanted... No, Underground 2, Most Wanted, Hot Pursuit.
There's been a lot.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of different variations of this game.
Mm-hmm.
Need for Speed Carbon, I know it's coming out on PC and Xbox 360. I don't know if it's coming out on anything else.
Mm-hmm.
But we're talking about the PC version anyway.
Yeah, of course.
Because we really got into Need for Speed in in the second LAN, really, didn't we? In the third LAN. Because we were looking for games to play, and that, you know, during the LAN, other than what we already had, and Need for Speed came up, and it was a really good game. It's a really good LAN game, isn't it?
Yep.
It's really good fun. But one, I think there's a few things we need, all of us don't really like about the series, some of the limitations it has. And Need for Speed Carbon's really coming along and really going to get rid of all those limitations.
Mm.
It's really going to make it a much more enjoyable game. So even though it's yet another iteration for you to have to spend your money on if you want to get the newest version of it, it's probably going to be quite the, you know, it's going to be worth the money, basically. Because... You know how in Underground, I'm using Underground as an example because you know what Underground is like because you played it. You know in Underground, you're always based in the city, and the single player is based around the idea of flashing your car up and making it look awesome and everything. Like you lot do. It makes the cars look horrible. You don't have to do that as much anymore. You still kind of do because it's like still based around the kind of like American...
Underground racing.
Yeah, so it's like... That's what they think is bling bling crap and everything, you know. But they've got that as well. They've got that there, and they've got like turf wars and everything like you do. But they've also got this kind of like out of city drift racing kind of stuff. So they're adding canyon runs.
Oh, right.
So instead of it being like a normal dogfight battle, so you've got like cars just racing along and see whoever passes the finish line first wins. It's going to be a system where one person leads, one person chases, because on the canyon road you can't really overtake because they're too narrow. And if the person in the front gets away from the person behind, they win the match. If the person behind can't keep up with the person in front, then they've lost. If the person in the behind overtakes the person in front, they win. If the person behind keeps up with the person in front, so it's the same the whole time, they redo the match and they just switch positions.
Yeah.
See where I'm going with this?
Yeah, it's like a pursuit type thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's a really nice addition to the series because it really... What's the word I'm looking for? It really fleshes out the racing. Cause it's... The canyon run's really based on drifting. So it's going to be... You know how in the drift mode on Underground 2?
Yeah.
it was all about the drifting and everything. It's going to be like that, but races at the same time.
Yeah.
So that's really going to add
to it. A bit
like
Burnout 2, all the corners you drifted and that sort of
thing. Similar, yeah. Mm-hmm. You won't be drifting all the corners, obviously.
Well, but, no.
And they've also removed your favourite little trick of drifting on straight
left
lines.
And right, yeah.
You can't do that anymore.
All right, okay.
One thing they have done, actually, is they made drifting almost simplistic now.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be a simple case. If you're going into a corner, the game initiates the drift for you, and all you have to do is like apply the right amount of acceleration to it.
All right.
You don't really control the drift, so to speak. It mm-hmm. does it for you. Mm-hmm. It's to kind of make it a bit more accessible to people mm-hmm. who can't really do it, I guess.
All right, cool.
There's going to be three different types of cars as well this time. Instead of it just being a load of different cars, there's going to be different versions of cars. You're going to mm-hmm. have the muscle cars, which are the 1960s stuff, you know, yep. big beefy cars. You know, like tuner cars, which are going to be the kind of like the cars you see on the everyday road, but like tuned up nice mm-hmm. and nice. And then you're going to get those really exotic, high-end mm-hmm. cars, like cool. The F1 cars and stuff. So
cool.
It's really going to be a good game to look out for, and I think right. it's going to be one that we should definitely
and no doubt good graphics, because it's going to be on PS3 and Xbox 360 and that, so
it's gonna I've seen a few screenshots of it and the graphics still look really nice.
Sweet.
And I mean Underground 2 was really nice on the PC. Yeah, well, wasn't it, so it's only going to be better than that.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Okay, so that's the gaming section done. We don't have any link for Need for Speed Carbon, but there's footage on just about every single gaming site.
Yeah, all the normal gaming sites. It's not hard to find. Yeah. You don't really need a link.
Okay. We got some music now. This is the very first episode of Life Next. This is kind of like a big 2-0 special thing.
not really special.
But the first episode of Life Next, we had some jazz from Evan Tate,
which we are very grateful for.
Yes.
Because he even listed us on his site. Mm-hmm. So good.
And since then, we've kind of had groove rock, all the episodes like Brother Love and, you know, Slackjaw. Yeah, we've had Slackjaw once. Corporate Whore
and Cool Waters Band, etc.
Yeah,
we've had all those kind of people. We're all groovy rock type thing, mm-hmm. and we kind of went with them because, like, you know,
it's very generic.
It's hard not to like it, really.
Yeah, easy listening, you know, type stuff.
It's easy listening, and it appeals to almost everybody.
Mm-hmm. But what we're going to do now is move into some blues.
Ooh.
Ooh. Now, this is actually blues rock, admittedly. This isn't very... It's blues, but it's not, like, bluesy blues. It's blues rock. And it's from Jimmy Bratcher, and it's called Bad Religion. In no relation at all to the terrorist threats that were going on in airports recently.
That wasn't intended, honestly.
No, well, honestly, wasn't intended. But maybe, you know, we'll keep going with the blues. You know, and we'll have some more bluesy stuff.
I quite like the song. I mean,
like the song. I've always liked blues.
Oh, I've not always liked blues, but I have definitely always had a kind of like attraction to that mm-hmm. kind of music, mm-hmm. and I really like the song. And if we can find some more good bluesy stuff that we're going to put on the show, we'll go ahead and do it.
Mm-hmm.
One thing we would like to mention, though, mm-hmm. is that if you've got any particular genre you'd like to hear on the show, let us know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you want us to play a certain type of music that you quite like the sound of for one episode, we'll do it.
Or if you know of any PodSafe music that's pretty good, then...
If you've made PodSafe music and you listen...
Yeah, if you even if it's not PodSafe music, but you just want to give us permission to play.
Yeah, exactly.
But Jimmy Bratcher has a website, www.jimmybratcher.com.
It's spelled okay. Bratcher with Bratcher.
And Jimmy, Gimmie.
Yeah, not with a Y.
Mm-hmm. So... Listen to this, see what you think. Email us if you like it. Email us if you don't.
Email us anyway.
Just email us saying hi, and we'll get you back after this with a nice tech special.
Well, I woke up this morning with a crazy vision, and I thought it was heaven, it was bad religion. Well, it messed up my mind and made me feel so mean. Drove everybody crazy, made them wanna scream. Well, my words, they cut sharp like a deep incision. I was killing my friends with my bad religion. Well, vision. Why's he yelling and screaming, getting red in the face? Oh, he better be careful, he might pop a vein. No matter what he says, I don't feel forgiven. Somebody help him, please, he got some bad religion.
Okay, welcome back. We hope you enjoyed that bit of blues from Jimmy Bratcher with Bad Religion.
Good song.
Indeed. JimmyBratcher.com. Also, thanks...
I love that way you just did that so quickly.
JimmyBratcher.com. Obviously, thanks to music.podshow.com, PodSafe Audio, for, you know, sort of hooking us up with that, kind of. We're moving on to the tech section now. Now, as I said earlier, thank you very much to Alex for suggesting this to me. I'm going to talk about Cooperative Linux, which you can go check out the website, and they have a very extensive wiki there at colinux.sourceforge.net. Now, it's the first working, because I'm sure lots haven't worked, free and open source method for optimally running Linux on Windows natively. Basically, it's a way of, you know, you have VMware, which emulates computers. Co-op Linux allows you to run like that, but it's not emulated, it's actually running the Linux kernel properly. All it is it's a port of the Linux kernel that allows it to run alongside other operating systems on a single machine. You could use a commercial virtualization program for this, such as VMware.com, probably, which we've talked about previously. But first of all, Co-Linux, it's an open source program, which is always good, you know, open source rules, blah, blah, blah.
Open source is always useful in these kind of situations. Yep. So.
And secondly, it's far, far more optimized for doing this sort of thing because, you know, VMware is a general virtualization of a whole computer, but this is a port of the Linux kernel itself. And therefore, it doesn't actually run faster, as you will find out later. I did some benchmarks. But it overall, it runs smoother because this is what it's designed to do. And combined with CYGWinX, which is the X Windows port for Windows, and you can use any X Windows thing for this, you can do some really, really cool stuff.
Which you showed me earlier.
Mm-hmm. Now, I won't go through setting up Co-Linux because it's quite long-winded. You have to do quite a lot of stuff. It's not as complicated as I thought. I mean, you have to download the software, install it, download the image, install the image, and it works. But then there's a lot more to do, and for those that try, I used two network interfaces, one with WinPCAP and one with TUN. This, you know, people who actually try and install it will understand. X goes over the TUN interface, and the internet goes over WinPCAP. For some reason, I couldn't connect into Co-Linux using the WinPCAP method, so I used the TUN method, which is faster because it's a direct connection. You can also use Ton with ICS and Windows bridging, that sort of thing. But I didn't want to do that because I hate Windows bridges because they're CPU hogs and memory hogs and resource hogs and everything else hogs. I mean, they just hog your computer, essentially. Also, I use the Debian image, the 2.4 kernel image, which is expands to a gig image, but it's 18 meg. And when you update that, for some reason, it updates to a 2.6 kernel anyway. Now, the clever stuff comes. I mean, that's all well and good, you know, a Linux command prompt, whoop-de-bloody-do, you know, you can SSH into a Linux shell any day or whatever.
Which is actually what I said the second you showed me this.
Indeed.
But then,
the clever stuff comes when you fire up X Windows in Windows, which is kind of like a, you know, X Windows, the X desktop environment in Windows. Now, X Windows has always been a server client model, and it's not the way around you'd think it is. The server is actually the thing that connects to it. And the client is, so Colinux would actually be the client, not the server, and Windows would be the server. Insane. Therefore, the graphical bit has never actually had to be on the same computer, and that stays true for people who make, in fact, Alex's mate did this. He made a computer which was really powerful, and he put like 5 graphics cards in it, and he hooked up 5 different monitors to it, and ran some... He didn't even run any virtualization software. He just used a similar method, but not with Colinux. He just used the whole X Windows thing. And he had 5 computers running off 1 computer. And so on a long line, he had these 5 monitors and 5 keyboards and mice, you know, a bit of adjustment to the motherboard and stuff, and 1 computer sitting in the middle. And he said the advantage of it was that if one person was running, say, Firefox, it would be really fast to load Firefox for all the other computers because it was already in the RAM, so it just loads straight away. Very cool stuff. Anyway, because X Windows has always been this server client model, the graphical bit doesn't need to be on the same computer, as we just established. You know, you could run the computer in America and connect to it in Australia, you know, and it would look like, you know, the windows are, you know, all the windows of the graphical programs are right in front of you. Therefore, you can run stuff in Colinux and then actually output CYGWinX, and you can even do whole desktop environments. I mean, I fired up XFCE for you. But you could install GNOME, you could install KDE, and you could have KDE full screen in a Windows environment. So you've actually got a Windows computer running Linux and the full graphical Linux as smooth for me as if I was running Linux. And in fact, Firefox loaded quicker in Colinux than it does in Windows.
Which is rather impressive when you think about it.
So, you know, as I said, you know, you can do this with VMware, blah, 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 but Colinux is cool, okay? It's open source, it's free, you know, and it's very interesting. I'm sure also for, you know, kernel hackers and stuff, it must be fascinating to work out, you know, how the Linux kernel works. And, you know, it's just cool. You can run Linux programs in Windows. I mean, it's just great. And as I said, you know, blah, 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 do this already. Someone's going to whinge. Someone will go, yeah, you can do this already. Move on, old news.
Yeah, but you could say that about loads of things in this tech world. So
go and check it out. You know, it doesn't take that long to configure. The hardest part was or is the network bit, but now that's been made really easy because they use WinPCAP, and that just makes it so easy. That does packet injection into your current network interface, so it looks like there's 2 computers behind 1 network interface. It worked on my network first time. I had to just change a config setting, added a bit more RAM to the config setting, and I had the internet in Colinux.
Quite amazing, actually, considering the complexity of your network.
Exactly. Now, this is no means a very scientific benchmark. You know, I'm not one for, like, doing major, clever benchmarking stuff or anything. So what I did is something that I do all the time, which is run lame, because I'm always encoding, you know, the show and all that sort of thing. So, and they're actually different versions of lame. They're like, one's beta 3 and one's beta 1 or something like that. One was compiled on Colinux. One was compiled on an Ubuntu 6.06 server in VMware, which was just the spare Linux VMware I had, and also a Windows XP binary from wearwares.org. Now, I will upload a screenshot to Flickr so that everyone can have a look at this, and I'll also upload screenshots of, you know, Colinux in action. But basically, in Linux, you can look at the times because I could use the time command, but I couldn't in Windows XP. So if you look at the the play and CPU ratio, so how fast it would be, you know, if you're playing in real time. And in Windows XP, I got 16 times the speed of the actual thing. In VMware, I got 14 times. And in Colinux, I got 12 times, or maybe 14, 12, and 10, something like that. So the difference is very small. It's not actually a lot, considering it's a Linux kernel running inside Windows. So, you know, you could actually say that it's faster in VMware, blah, blah, blah. But bear in mind, I'm using a 2.6 kernel Debian image on Colinux. And so if I had Gentoo running, say, I could probably get a faster result, but then I could do that on VMware, and so it goes on. I'm not very good at benchmarking, as you can tell. I use lame to benchmark. but it was just interesting how close to real speed it got, considering it's open source and it was running alongside Windows. The other thing is that the amount of RAM usage. Now, I set it to max out at 128 before it hits the swap, and I could load up an entire desktop environment, a whole Linux machine, Firefox, everything, and it was using no CPU while it was idle, hardly anything when it was running, and like Firefox was using no RAM. It was using 50 megs for a whole Linux distribution. Alex says he actually uses this. He loads up Firefox in Colinux so that, or in whatever, so that he can't like get any viruses on his machine because it's all restricted within Colinux.
That's actually a point, because you can't really get a virus on the file, because it's like,
yeah,
being emulated from Windows itself.
Exactly. So that's always a cool thing. It'll be very interesting to allow me to faster check out Linux programs, because before I either use Tomb Raider or I use a VMware, but Colinux loads in like 20 seconds and I've got it all up and running, you know, and you could set up a script to sort out the CYG WinX and stuff. So it's very interesting. Go and check it out and you'll learn a lot about how Linux works and stuff, and how versatile the Linux kernel is. If you know, you can just adjust a few things and bingo, you've got, you know, a Linux running inside Windows. It doesn't just work on Debian. They've got already an image set up for Gentoo Linux, and they say that you can actually tweak the kernel yourself to get any version of Linux to work inside Colinux. Very cool. Oh, and the screen's gone off. There we go. Okay, so that kind of wraps up that bit, shorter than I thought. I could go through, you know, the installation procedure and everything, but to be honest, it's quite boring, and I'm only going to be repeating a wiki article, because that's exactly what I used. So go and check it out, and if you do have any problems, feel free to email me. Alex also said that he knows quite a bit about it, so if necessary, I can always hook you up with Alex, and he can try and give you a hint into how he gets it to work.
And if you do this yourself, let us know how it gets on with you.
Yeah, exactly.
Tell us the results.
Tell us the success stories if you find, you know.
Or failures.
I mean, if you go on the wiki, it lists, you know, the things you could use this for. And, you know, if you ever have any sort of stories of, wow, you know, I discovered Colinux and, like, I use it for, you know, you develop Linux applications or something and you wanted to test it quicker in a Windows environment, yeah, I mean, or, you know, you wanted Linux on your laptop while you're on the move, but you didn't want to actually dual boot because you were just, like, programming Linux programs or something.
Dual booting laptops.
Yeah. We know about that.
Let's not go there.
Mm. Okay, so that wraps up the tech section. I haven't really got much else to talk about.
No.
I just wanted to do a feature because it's very cool. It's a very cool thing. And thank you very much to Alex for hooking me up with that idea. And, you know, it would probably benefit from, like, being done on video or something. I might recommend it to Hack5 to do a segment on it. But, you know, I just wanted to inform people about something that I find is cool.
I mean, even though I didn't understand... Even though I don't really understand all, like, the really techie stuff, because I mean, obviously I'm nowhere near as, like, techie competent as you are,
mm-hmm.
I still find it interesting, all these different things you do, and like, and I think if I'm interested in everything and I'm more of the game as that anime part of me, I'm sure our listeners must be relatively interested as well.
Exactly. So
you know, I mean, just because it would have been better on a video doesn't mean that it won't be good on
Indeed.
Won't be good this. So
okay, so I'm just trying to think. I don't think there's really any tech news or anything going on at the moment. Plugs and shouts.
No plugs.
No plugs at all, no. But shouts out. Well, first of all, shouts to ATP15. And we forgot about you. We forgot to shout you last episode, even though we said we would. So he has a new blog, and the link will be on the site. Shouts again to Zata and Kaz. This is kind of becoming a regular occurrence, you know.
Maybe, yeah, but it's a different reason for every time.
Yep. So thank you very much again. Also shouts to his mum for coming and collecting me, blah blah blah.
And
which I won't have to do for long because I had my driving lesson.
We should put that in the life section.
Not to mention that.
Oh well,
yeah, I had a driving lesson.
And you were scared.
I was scared shitless.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
And but I've got another one tomorrow.
Should be cool. Tomorrow?
Yes, tomorrow. That's partly the reason why I can't record.
Yeah.
It's got a lesson in the morning and then we're going off in the afternoon.
I knew you were going off, but I just didn't know. Yep. I had a lesson tomorrow.
Yep.
And final shout is to Defay and Innie.
Innie. Inmate.
Inmates mm-hmm. from the Dare Clan.
Yep.
Because they're coming down to...
One of them's coming up.
One of them's coming down. to the LIH LAN 0X04.
Which is otherwise known as Clan LAN 2.
Yes.
They will actually be at the LAN by the time that everyone listens to this.
So by the time you've downloaded this off your RSS feed or from the website or wherever
from ddphackradio.org.
Wherever the hell you get it from. They'll be at the LAN and we'll be gaming it up.
Yep, we will. So shouts to them for, you know, getting down here, up here, whatever. And shouts to Mix for hosting it. It's a very good LAN. So are you enjoying the LAN so far?
Oh, yeah, sure. Yes, it's great fun, yeah.
Yeah, it's really good.
I've been up 27 hours now, yeah. I'm telling you. Yep. I can't stop gaming.
Mm-hmm. So that about wraps up the show. Look at that. Okay, so I'm Gelato.
I'm Sephron.
And that has been Life in the Hex, episode 20, the big 2-0. Woo!
Which wasn't very big.
Cheers, chink.
Chink with the imaginary beers, because we forgot to get the beers.
Indeed.
But we've got Red Rooster instead.
We have co-op version of Kick.
Which is the Tesco version of Red Bull.
Which is the... All right, well, I'm Gelato.
I'm Sephron again.
And this has been episode 2. Yes, so it has. So we have. It has. It has been...
Three times now, aren't we?
No. And that's Agara.
I'm Sephron.
I'm Gelato.
And it's been Life in the Hex. There's a bit of moss on the back of your tail.
A bit of moss?
Moss.
Oh, moss.
Other side.
Nor moss. No.
Oh, we have to watch that later.
Somebody nearly died.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I was thinking of the golf course instance.
I just lost my headphone.
What do you think he is? The soul ring of the police.
It's off, so I turn it on
and just walk away.
Okay, welcome back. I hope you enjoyed that.
Wait, we're recording?
Yeah, we are.
Oh, shit. That's it.
Yeah, that's as far as it goes.
Yeah, unfortunately.